And then will come a realization, a very important realization, that you are never alone. The most beautiful realization you will get, that you are never alone. That in this majestic creation, infinite communication is taking place. There is no dead matter in this infinite universe. That there is no dead moment in this infinite universe. And that there is continuous communication. And every galaxy, every star, every planet, every life on each planet can take advantage of this communication, infinite divine communication, and can lead his or her life according to this communication. When you have done that for some time, when you have heard the whisper and you continue your practice to the whisper of the infinite divine mind will say, "Oh, you foolish friend, why are you wasting your time listening to my whisper? You have something inside you of infinite grandeur, majesty, before which I, infinite mind, is nothing. Listen from within your own whisper." That will be the second stage. And that when you will hear your own whisper from inside, then in very great excitement, one day you will say, "Shiva, Shiva." Just as the wills within wills, as Buddha said, the questions within questions.
The state of quietude is necessary for the divine whisper to strike you.
Yes.
Is it not made noisy by japa and tapa? Is not japa
and tapa? That is why I just now told you that in these 3 minutes, don't even have anything. In these 3 minutes, when you are trying to catch the whisper, don't have anything. I first told you to empty the boat. That was another step. You see, you can't jump. Doctor, you are in a hurry. Of course, all of us are in a hurry after being fast asleep for a million billion years. And now we think that we have got very little time, we must go fast. I appreciate that. But we have to go step by step. We have to crawl, then stand, then take some hesitant steps, then walk, then run, then hope for the Olympic medal later on, you see. But these steps are unavoidable. First we empty the boat. First we are on that stage. There, as though you take help of your japa, if you like. Take help of your japa. Or take help of your visualizing the divine fragment, the plane. This next step is to catch the whisper. You are in this 3 minutes that I have told you, do nothing, be intent on hearing. Don't create any noise, even of japa.
Yeah.
But in these 3 minutes, try to catch the whisper that comes. And if you are honest, day in and day out for some time, and if you have caught a whisper from the infinite divine mind, that the Siddhic divine mind will then say, my foolish friend, don't waste your time after me. You've got something within you, far greater, infinitely greater. Catch a whisper from there. And then when you catch a whisper from your own self, like Shankara, you might say, Shiva, Shiva. Because then you will realize that the entire power of the universe is within you. But not as philosophy, but as an experience. Yoga is not philosophy. Yoga is pure experience. As long as we will be very busy with philosophy of yoga, we shall not experience. For the philosophy will take our time and will not let us have experience. You cannot have experience for a long time. The experience is for a moment. But this experience is on the electronic plane, the atomic electronic plane. It's not on the physical plane. And one moment on the electronic atomic plane is equal to some years in physical life. So to have the experience for a moment is sufficient to make you wise. And you will be addicted to receive that moment again and again. And when you receive a few more moments like this, you will need no teacher, you will need no book, you will need no japa, you will need no meditation. You will take a deep breath of freedom. And you will know. That is what we are talking about here, of hearing the whisper. May I go to the next question?
Home also can be considered as a simple home.
Yeah. Home is not simple. He says, will home be a simple job? I said, home is not simple. But any japa is good enough. The shorter, the better. Om is shortest.
It is not simple.
It's very difficult.
How about explaining it?
I'll come to it. I've got so many questions. I'll write down here.
What intermediate function then for the japa to perform?
Very good question. Pardon? The doctor is asking the question. What is the intermediate function of japa? When you get up in the morning, how many of you brush your teeth? All of you? But it's an important function. When you get up in the morning, you brush your teeth. Because it is an important function. Sometimes I think it's waste of time. But yes, it is an important function. However, quickly I finish off, doesn't matter, but still I do it. It is an important function. How many of you take bath every day? You have to do it because it is an important function. I mean, we know it's so much waste of time, but we have to do it, you see. So like that, on this path there are certain important functions, you see. And each has something good in it. And not basically, in favor of japa. I am not basically in favor of meditation. But just as I am not in favor of brushing teeth or having a bath, but since it is an unavoidable function, I have to do it. I like it or not.
It is serving some
purpose. What is the purpose it is serving? That is what you want to know. A. It is sealing the licking board. The first function is to seal the licking board. Our first question was, no, Bhikshu empty the board, and we said that we cannot empty the board because it is filling up continuously. Because it has a lick.
It inhibits the
drift. It has some function to do. And this drifts lead on to so many other things. So the first thing is, we know that drifts are not necessary. Can we have some antiseptic? It is an antiseptic. Later on, we'll throw it aside. Whatever it is, if the boat is sealed, it's all right, then we don't need it. But it is an important, essential function. You get that one? It has some use. One of the uses, as you just mentioned, is to prevent
violent
trips. It's one of the functions. You see? The second function is, and it is believed widely, that each japa has its own vibration. The entire universe is built on vibration. And the particular vibration forms a particular thing or being. You see? It has its own vibration. This has its own vibration. He has his own vibration. I have my own vibration. And each japa has its own vibration. And therefore, since ancient times, it is never good to just recite any japa that we like, but one given by the guru. That has been the custom normally in India, that a japa has to be given by a guru, and that japa is then is to be pronounced, because the guru may find a particular japa suitable to your particular vibrational tone. And the purpose of that japa now is to give you a bath day. The first was brushing your feet, stopping the drifts, now it's giving you a bath. That's the second. Like that, these are important functions which a japa quietly does.
As our guru, can you ask Shishya? I
am not a guru, I have told.
You just give us the...
I have told you repeatedly, I am not your guru. I have told you repeatedly, I am not your teacher. Because the minute I am your guru or your teacher, there is a partition between you and me. You are there, I am here. You are my friend, I am your friend. Being friend, we come very close. There is no partition. So that what I have in me flows into you. You get that point? Without your asking. The difference is that a guru gives when the chela asks. A friend gives without asking. So you will get without asking. As time comes, as you prepare yourself, I will. And you will not have to ask from me. I assure you. A friend will not wait for his friend to ask. He is not a friend then. If he cannot sufficiently get in tune, if he cannot get in tune with his friend, he is no friend. And I am your friend. And therefore, I will flow into you. You may not ask from me anything. Whatever you will be wanting will flow into you. But if you call me a guru, then you will have to ask, and I will have to think, and then whether I give, all these sorts of things. So I have never said, I am a teacher or a guru. So I will not give you a guru mantra, but I will pass it on to you quietly, a friend's mantra. And then it will uplift you.
It is done.
Perhaps in the course of the day, perhaps some other day, but I will pass on to you, to each one of you. So always treat me as your friend, expect me to deal with you as a friend. You get my point? And before you tune yourself to the infinite mind, tune yourself to me at least, so that I will float for you, and then later on you can contact infinite divine mind. See? But first, first, be one with me, mentally, emotionally. Be one with me, let me float for you, and let me give you the things you want without you asking. Otherwise I am not here. Okay? So we have seen the prophylactic or whatever uses of japa. Okay?
I want to share something.
And please remember, like Star TV or Star Plus TV or ZTV, all put together, you can tune yourself to me any time of the 24 hours.
How do we do that?
Has another question? Has another question? Within the question? How do we do? After today, questions won't end. It's a good question. How do I tune? Ask this man how he tunes. Tuning is tuning. And a million sets, TV sets, tune to the same. Anyway, what's the sweet sound coming out? Oh, it's some small little thing. Oh, good, lovely. I thought it was a whisper coming from somewhere. So the question is, how do I tune myself? To whom do you tune? Because you like the program of Star TV, you tune yourself. Because you like. So the first question will be whether you like me. And that is the first basic question. That unless you like me, you cannot tune yourself. So the question arises is, somebody may like me very much, but then I don't know if everybody would like me so much. First question is that you like me. When you like me, you give a thought to me. When you give a thought to me, pass on the thought that I would like to be tuned to you. Now look, first I said that if there is a guru or a teacher, you have to ask and he will reply. Here, similar thing you are doing, but in a very different way. You are asking whilst tuning. So all you are asking is, you are putting no question, you are asking is that you may remain tuned to me. That a genuine once or twice such desire will tune yourself to be. And that's the way hundreds can tune themselves to me. Because each will be a small, thin ray coming to me. And on that same ray will I come to you. That is how the tuning is done. And without your tuning to me and my tuning to you, actually there will be no real progress. without this tuner. But it must come spontaneously, of your own accord. Like this man who said that I wanted to tune me. So, like that, spontaneously you tune yourself to me, I will not disappoint anyone. I promise you. Okay, now we go to another. Since healing of the psychic nature and calming of the thinking instruments are crucial, what all we could do to succeed in these two areas? You have suggested a number of steps already. In view of their importance, maybe he means to say that healing of the psychic nature and calming of the thinking instrument are crucial. Yes. And he says that you have suggested a number of steps to succeed in these two areas. Actually, then it is not a question. It is a question answered. But for all of you, I will consider it a question. The healing of the psychic nature and the calming of the thinking instrument are crucial. What should we do to succeed in these two areas? That is the main question. The opening of the sutras is this. I think it's the second sutra. In the first book. Actually it is the first sutra. Because the first sutra just begins. So the first sutra in the first book says that it is very imperative, very necessary that we heal the psychic nature and we calm the thinking instrument. What is the psychic nature? You know me as this body. If tomorrow you don't find this body, you say, oh, he's dead. Because you don't find the body. But if you tune yourself to me, and if the communication is going on for some time between us, then this physical body you may not find. You will say, oh, no, he's not there. I communicate. But my psychic nature. But a normal person's psychic nature is not healed. It has scars. So you can't communicate. I presume my psychic nature is not scarred anymore. So you can tune. So with the psychic nature that is healed, you can communicate. And in absence of this physical body, you will say, no, he's not dead. I communicate. You see, the psychic nature does not die. The physical body dies. The psychic nature repeats itself.
Psychic nature, the soul or whatever?
Again, you are bringing in so much knowledge. I am puzzled then. I have got very little knowledge. Don't bring about so much, you see. What I have to say is, there is a difference between psychic nature and soul. Soul we are not bringing in. We are bringing in Oh, seeing you after a very long time. How are you?
Not very well. Sit down.
Yes. Can you sit here?
So, we were on the point of psychic nature. A hill psychic nature can be tuned in. And that is why Yoga Sutra, first sutra says, heal the psychic nature. Because if you heal the psychic nature, there is possibility of communication. There is possibility of tuning in. And remaining tuned in. Get my point? He says, if you don't do that, you are by yourself alone. And then you say, there is no help. God doesn't hear. My prayers are not answered. And you feel you are alone, let down, nobody cares, you see. Why? The fault is yours, not God's. You are not tuned in. You are not tuned in to anything. Whether it is infinite divine mind, whether it is the divine fragment, whether it is you or me, it's not the question. The question is, there is no further communication because there is no tuning in possible. So the sutra says, if you want to know what life is, what a human being is, what nature is, what God is, please don't philosophize. First thing, heal, discard psychic nature, you will come in tune with something. And then you will be in tune with something, you will learn slowly the meaning of life, the reason for life, the benefit of living, the benefit of advancing step by step, you see. But if your psychic nature is hard, there will be no possibility of tuning in. So the first imposition of the Yoga Sutra is heal the scarred psychic nature. Now what is the psychic nature? What it is made of? It is not the divine fragment. It is not so. It is the matter, a very fine substance in us that does not die at death. And the purpose of that substance is to continue till fresh body is made and fresh substance for that other body is made, will communicate to that fresh substance and will disintegrate. I'll repeat. There is some beautiful substance in us. When we die, it doesn't die. It continues till your next birth is ready, where next physical body with its fresh substance is ready. It will communicate everything to that substance about you, and then it will disintegrate. That means it will create another substance. See, so that there is no gap in between of death. You understand? Today the definition of death is an end. Whether there is a fresh beginning, we don't know. No. Sutra says, this psychic nature is in a way undying. Because if it is passing on everything to the fresh substance and then disintegrates, again your substance is there, ready for you. This substance, I may in a very crude manner tell you, is a combination of your astral and mental body. This beautiful substance is a combination of your astral and mental body. And the purpose of your astral and mental body is to survive till fresh physical body is ready for a fresh birth, and to transfer whatever code that is ingrained here, the structure, the sanskar, into the fresh substance, that means a fresh astral mental body combination, and then this disintegrates because it is no more needed. Understand? This substance, without which also we cannot survive, because it is a linking substance between the physical body and soul. The soul does not survive within the physical body alone. If it has not got this substance, soul will not enter a physical body. You get my point? And this beautiful substance is scarred by us in life, in one life. And because it is scarred heavily, if a warrior is heavily scarred, he is unfit for the next battle. So your beautiful substance, if it is scarred, we are not ready for any tuning in. You get my point? So, Yoga Sutra opens and says, heal the psychic nature. This is difficult to explain this. Even if I say that it is a combination of astral and mental body, it doesn't mean this, it cannot describe this beautiful substance. So, Patanjali uses a peculiar term, psychic nature. This psychic nature is to be healed. Because the first thing it will do, though sooner it is ill, is tuning it. Without asking, it will tune you. Whether with infinite mind or divine fragment is separate. But the minute it is healed, it can tune in. And the next thing it says is, this chatterbox has to be calm. So, further it used the word, heal the psychic nature and calm the thinking instrument. It says, the Yoga Sutras cannot begin without these two things. Nothing is possible without these two things. Oh my God, are we going by the clock? Your program says 11:15. What is the next step then? After 11:15 is what in your program? It will pass on each state. The question is, this psychic substance, will it pass on even the scars? It will pass on whatever it is. Its own state, its own structure, its own sanskars to the new fabricated psychic body or psychic substance. So the first sutra says, heal the psychic nature and calm the thinking. He doesn't use the word brain, because the entire brain doesn't think. A part of the brain thinks, the forepart. So he says, calm the thinking instrument. That part of the brain which does thinking. The other parts do so many other things. For example, maintaining the body and other things. So, without these we cannot begin the Yoga Sutras. You see? So, from this we'll start another question. How do we remove these scars? Because when we remove, she is very anxious to tune in without the scars going out. Okay, so the point is that we must remove the scars. And how do we remove the scars? We have asked this question. How were the scars put there? What did we do to scar this beautiful psychic substance? Emotion. We are human beings.
we should be defined as emotional beings, or we should be defined as chemical beings, because emotions are chemicals. As you change your emotions, you change your chemicals. And as you change your chemicals, you change your health on the physical body, and you scar your psychic substance. You are scarring me, huh? You understand? We are human beings, we are emotional beings, we are chemical beings, and different chemicals create different different emotions, create different chemicals, different chemicals create different ailments in us. The physical body is ailing and the psychic substance is scarred because it is so, so subtle. On this page I can write, but if I were to write on that psychic substance, I will scar it. It is so delicate. It is so subtle. And therefore, when we have a chemicals, that is emotions, touch it, there are scars. Just as sulfuric acid, if I put here, there will be a scar immediately. You see? So the emotional chemicals scar the psychic substance. And God knows what we have done with our emotions, what way we have used these emotions. It is not necessary that emotions should be used only to hurt others. We may hurt ourselves with our own emotions. The one single reason being, we can't forgive. That is why forgiving is so very necessary. If we forgive, we can't scar our body. Psychic nature. Because we can't forgive, we scar our psychic nature. Some scar their own psychic nature by hurting others, but some hurt themselves by not forgiving.
By not forgiving themselves.
By not forgiving those who hurt them. By not forgiving those who have hurt them. Understand? Good. And in this life or in earlier lives, how much we have accumulated. Again, we have coming to the first question, how to empty the boat. You see, all these questions, they are going in and out of the same question in a different manner, you see. We are filling up the boat with all these. We have to empty the boat of all these. We have to scar, we have scarred our psychic nature. We have to remove our scars from our psychic nature. So, what is the moral of the story? That we are the architects of our own unhappiness. We are the architects of our own unhappiness. We are the architects of our own misery, of all our bad luck. No one else. I tell you that if you can tune yourself once, and if that moment be enough, that fraction of a moment be enough of being tuned, you will see what beautiful purpose is there around for one good reason of our living. No symphony orchestra on earth is so beautifully playing this music as your moment of tuning will make you hear. And for that, you have to heal your psychic nature. You have to calm your thinking instrument. Or you use the other word and say you have to empty the pore. You have to remove the scars, whatever you want to say. But so much can be said in this much. So the very first sutra says everything. That all that I have been talking to you, the first sutra itself says it. And because of this statement, this sutra, came the various aspects of yoga. One man came and said, do this. Another man came and said, do that. Third man said, do this. And hence you have the very many different types and methods and techniques of yoga. You put aside all these. How much time you have that will spend every day going through all the techniques in the world put together? To tune yourself. If not to the divine infinite mind, to me. However worthless I may be, tune yourself to me. Okay? And let us see whether the tuning answers your question one by one without asking. Today is a session where you ask questions and I am answering. Let the tuning then answer your unasked questions. Okay? Very, very long and hard question. Structure. What does it attract? How can it be modified? Big question. Structure. How can it be modified? And then he adds one more line. What can one do with awareness to modify this structure? One's own structure. It's a good question. The beauty of this question is the writer may not know, but the beauty of this question is that to create structure does not require awareness, but to modify the structure requires awareness. All the things I may have done foolishly have created my structure. I have not cared to be aware of what I am doing. But if somebody tells me that it is necessary to modify the structure, then all my awareness must come in to help me how I should modify that structure. Structure. Whether it is wood, cotton, stone, silver, gold, diamond, they are all structures. Metals. One long, 25 years back, I was talking to one of the ministers about a project I had, which repeatedly said that the material was a bad conductor. He said, ये तो bad बोलता है, bad conductor है, तो फायदा क्या है बजाने में? Understand? It's a bad conductor. So bad लिखता है तो फिर बजाने में फायदा क्या? So the minister was that very intelligent. So I said, sir, bad conductors are needed and good conductors are needed to make this world. I may be a bad conductor, you may be a good conductor. But does it not mean a bad character? I said, no, it doesn't mean a bad character. So structure may not be bad. We need wood as much as we need metal. Or we may need more than we may need diamond. So the structure necessarily is not bad. But how much opaque it is, how much resistant it is to change, that is very important. So the structure you may have all created, each one of you has created a structure. That is why you have got a particular state.